We're going to do something different this morning. So if you're visiting with us at Blue Mountain Community Church, we don't have a lot of traditions or things, but one thing we do have been doing for about 43 years now is if we say we got something different, you all say,
how different.
How different. So it's a real joy for me today to stand here, sit here and share the stage with, I would say, the two people in the world that I admire and respect and am inspired by the most.
Whoa.
Whoa. That's
I'm not going to tell you who's number one, but... So right next to me, this is my wife, Jennifer, Pastor Jen. And Jen's been our pastor for...
Since 2008.
Pastor. Yeah, you can't do the math either, how many years that is. So she's been our pastor for 16, thank you. 16 years. I haven't had my second cup of coffee yet, so 16 years. And then to her, our right, this is Pastor Rick. Everybody say good morning, Pastor Rick.
Morning, Pastor Rick.
Judy's a fan.
Yeah, that was pretty weak. I don't
she's
know.
Getting points.
That's actually pretty good for a Sunday morning. Pastor Rick is our founding pastor. And so I recognize that there's some folks who might not know, because retired,
yep,
and well earned. There's been something that the Lord has put on my heart for some time. And so this is a kind of an informal, if you will, called a living room discussion, where we just kind of talk. And I'm going to ask some questions and have them both share, because they both have done things over the years and then recently that I feel are worth exploring. Because in this, call it particular accomplishment, is a larger, if you will, message about doing things the Lord's way. You know, certainly, Rick, I know that that's been your a driving message for all the years that I've been here, known you. So I know we never get tired of talking about that. It's Independence Day weekend celebration. We love to talk about freedom. I love to talk about freedom. I love that our songs this morning were about that, because that's what the Lord has in mind for us, is not to live in bondage to anything of this world, but to live in His freedom. And, you know, our message title this morning, Freedom is Wisdom Applied. And maybe that sounds really simple, but I think the reality is that we can say that and go, yeah, I know that, but what does that look like day to day, over the course of a lifetime? And so I'm going to have them share. Come on now. There we go. So Rick wrote a book, God's Way to Manage Money. And so it's available on his website and on Amazon, and we'll have them here eventually.
Tomorrow they're supposed to come.
Tomorrow. So tomorrow the books will be available. And Jenny released a CD, and the CD is a few years old, but we've never really talked about this process. And both of those things, why I think those are important, because both of those things were the culmination of years of being obedient, right? And really, I want to say the main point here and look at the scripture this morning, and then I'm going to just ask some questions and let you guys share from your hearts and from what the collective experience and wisdom that the Lord has put into you over the years, you know? So Our main point this morning is simply that freedom, true freedom, is found by applying the Lord's wisdom to every area of your life. I think we can come to the Lord and say, yep, I trust in you, Lord, for my salvation, for the eternal life. And then we hang on to things in our lives that say, well, I don't really want to give that part up. And then we continue to live in bondage to those things. Whether it's financial things, which your book is about, finance, God's way to handle money, finances, or even relationally, which a lot of your music tends towards that direction, our relationship with the Lord or with each other. And this process of spending time with the Lord and letting Him work in our lives and letting Him work His freedom in those areas, right? So let's read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, okay? Can we read this nice and loud together? Balcony crew, can you read that good? Can you read that well? I got a thumbs up all the way in the back. Josiah, thank you. All right, let's read Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 7. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. and with all your acquiring, get understanding. You know, I read that proverb, you know, I mean, maybe first ask that question. Well, the first question I would ask you is, you know, how did you get to be so awesome?
Well, you'd have to ask Nancy that.
Yeah. Okay. when you, verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. What does that look like? What has that looked like for you over the years?
Well, I don't even know when I first, where I first heard the idea of reading the proverb every day. Like, you know, there's 31 proverbs, 31 days of the month. But it was early on, way back in, right after I got saved, I'm sure. And so I've been reading the proverbs for 40, almost 50 years now. And when you read the proverbs over and over again like that, what ultimately comes through is God's whole purpose for us to be here is to never stop learning. That we're always always climbing a learning curve. And so realizing that, I just asked the Lord, always give me something new to learn. Help me have some new goal, some new project, some new information I have to learn that's going to make me grow as a person. And then you know, back in the 70s, when Nancy and I were in California, we went to Jack Hayford's church. After I was done in the Methodist, I had to do my robe thing, and then we would quick jump in our VW Beetle and drive up the 405 up to Van Nuys, and we'd get there and just in time for his last service. But there was several things that he said over those 2 years that we were out there that have just, they've become the bulwark of my life. And the first one was, if any two of you shall agree on anything that you may ask, it shall be done for you by your Father in heaven. And he said that verse that Jesus said is better than money in the bank. If you and your spouse will agree and communicate and pray, it will be done. The second thing that actually got us here was he said, look, if you have a hard time hearing God and understanding what God's saying, he said, first of all, you know, just get alone with God. Get a prayer language. Let your spirit speak. And while you're alone with him, speak in your spiritual language. Get a blank piece of paper and say, okay, Lord, help me understand what you're telling me. And just start writing it down. And so after I did, we went back to our little apartment there in Pasadena, California. And I prayed in tongues, and I just wrote down. And it said, go back to Pennsylvania. I have something for you to do there. We are already set up to stay in California for the rest of our lives. And so that's another whole story that'll be another, you know. One of the first books God ever told me to do is, I want you to write a book about the things I've done in your life. And so that was like 30 years ago that he told me that, through journaling. And the third thing, which didn't come from Jack Hayford, it came from John Wesley. My dad gave me a whole set of John Wesley's journals. And my dad said when I was 19, he said, Rick, the one thing you're going to do that's going to help you understand God's working in your life is keep a journal. And he gave me this great big set of volumes of books of John Wesley's journals. And he said to me, nobody in the world has changed the history of mankind more than John Wesley. And look at what he wrote in here, his thoughts and what he was struggling with. And so, you know, again, since my early days, Jed last week had all of her journals out here, you know. And I didn't take the trouble to go back. And I mean, I've got tubs and tubs of them. But in one of those journals, you know, 30 years ago, God told me to that he wanted me to start putting into words the things that he was doing in my life and teaching me. And so that now is becoming books. And when he said, I want you to write a book, I said, God, you know, if you want this to happen, then you've got to make it happen. I'm not going to struggle and make this happen. And so then, you know, in 2019, am I going too long with this? Or?
No, you're fine.
2019, as I was phasing out and Cliff was coming on, I did a Saturday night service instead of Sunday mornings. I did Saturday nights. And God just impressed upon me just to talk about his ways. And the title of that whole year's sermons was, I Love Your Ways. And while I was doing that, there was a family that was attending, and I guess I don't think I can say her name or not. Anyway, she came up to me and said, she said, Pastor Rick, God has just put on my heart. Now this was in 2019. God has put on my heart to take the audio of your 2017 series on how to manage money and put it into text so you can put it into a book. And I said, okay, great, go for it. And so she did that, and it lay dormant because I didn't know what to do with it. And then this past winter, John and Marianne Haupt came up to me and said, Rick, God's just put it on our hearts to help you get this book published. And so they took me by the hand, and I mean, it's amazing what's involved. But yeah, here it is.
Yay.
Yeah, absolutely. Woo.
But the one thing that I did want to say today from what you said and what Jim Argandese, so raise your hand there, Jim, have said about this book is that it's not really a book about money. It's God's way to manage your life. It's God's way to manage your life. And because money is necessary for everything that we do, you know, money is the common thread that runs through everybody's life and everything that you do. You're either making it or spending it, just like your time. And how we do that, God's got a way to do that. And it should not be wearisome. It should not be worrisome. God meant all this to be just like second nature, like we learn to walk and then we walk. We learn how to ride a bicycle, we ride a bicycle. So that's what this book is about.
Awesome.
How to live life God's way.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jen. What's, you know, acquire wisdom, you know, is that? Yeah.
Well, I started attending the church here when I was 6 years old, 6 or 7 years old. And, of course, I think Nancy could be up here with us, too, but we only have right short time, right? But Nancy's definitely a part of all this as well.
I mentioned that to her this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, she was walking out to come down here.
Yeah.
And she wasn't real thrilled about that idea.
Oh, okay. She's our cheerleader. She cheers for us. Yeah. But one of the very first scriptures I learned when I came to the church was humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at the proper time. And I learned that when I was 6 or 7 years old. And also, in him we live and move and have our being, which is Acts 17:28. But humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and I remember asking my mom, what does humble mean? I didn't understand what that meant. And when I say humble, it doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. Being humble is thinking of yourself less. It's thinking of others first. And one of the things I've learned along my journey here, it was funny that Pastor Rick mentioned your growth, because really life is not about getting to a goal and reaching an end. It's about growing along the way. It's not about setting up goals and trying to strive at them. It's saying, I want to get there. How do I grow in order to get to that place? So growth has been, you know, part of my life physically and spiritually. I've been part of this church for a very long time. And I would say that if you want a life that honors God, first of all, put him first. Wake up every morning and talk to him right away. When you wake up in the morning, good morning, Lord. Start that conversation. Get that going. Then have someone in your life, a mentor, somebody who is a farther ahead than you spiritually, that you can go to with your problems or just with, hey, can I bounce this thought off of you? This is what I'm feeling. Can I get your input? That we don't have to tell everybody all our problems, but that we have that mentor that we can trust. And then always have someone that you're inspiring and encouraging, somebody that you're ministering to and helping them in their journey. So I've always felt like humbling ourselves before God is saying, who can do this job better than I can? Always looking for somebody that's better than me at something so I can learn from them, right? So it's interesting that one of the words that I would say I've always defined myself as was unqualified. And I don't know how many of you have ever felt that way. But I'm telling you, God qualifies, right? And over the years, there were things that I was trying to do or wanted to do but didn't feel qualified to do it. In fact, when I took on the role of music minister in 2001, Pastor Rick took me in his office and he said, hey, would you be willing to oversee music ministry? And I said, I'll do it till you find someone else. And you see how that worked out, right? That was 2001. So that was a, let's not do the math on that. But anyway, that was a long time ago. But I kept always feeling like I'm not enough, I can't. And I know a lot of people struggle with that, feeling like, oh, I could never write a book. I could never finish it. I could never, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Wait on the Lord, trust in him, and what are you learning along the way as you grow? And, you know, I've shared this a few times, but I remember, you know, the Lord speaking to my heart when I came on as a pastor, and Pastor Rick saw a pastor in me. And I just wrote this in my journal last week. I wrote down all the people in my life that I could think of, and it's a long list, who helped me and pushed me along the way. Because no matter where you are in your growth with Christ, you didn't get there alone. You got there with the help of Jesus and the help of someone else coming alongside you. Whatever job you have, someone came alongside of you to help you get to that place. So I just said, Lord, help me be thankful for the people that came alongside me. You know, and I wrote in my journal, Pastor Rick saw a pastor in me. Pastor Rick saw something in Cliff. You know, and I will say, last Sunday, when Cliff was doing the baptisms, I'm going to cry. This man has been my mentor, a father figure in my life, and I'm so grateful. So much of who I am and what I do now is because he saw something in me that I never saw. But sitting there, standing here leading worship last week while Cliff was doing the baptisms and Pastor Rick was sitting with the kids, I just saw humility on him, that he was willing to say, God, this church is yours. He and Nancy, they started this church out and they said, God, it's not about us, it's about you. What do you want to do? And they were willing to pass this on to us so that we could continue to pass it to the next generation. But I believe that humility and then also trusting that God qualifies. I told Rick, I can't write music. I even said, I can't play an instrument. I can't read music. We'll never learn a new song ever. You know, I said that in 2001. We'll never learn a new song. Well, would you believe we've learned over 300 songs in that time as a music minister? Since I was leading. And I wrote 40, 50 songs since then. And yeah, and they're not all on the CD. So over that time of feeling unqualified, I recognize God's word says that he qualifies, that he doesn't call the qualified. He doesn't pick you because you have a piece of paper or because you are awesome at something. He'll actually pick you because he knows you're willing to follow him and you're willing to do what he's called you to do no matter what. And it's hard. And you're blazing a trail. Rick and Nancy blazed a trail for us here. But seeking the Lord every day, trusting him and waiting. And while we feel like we're waiting, what's actually happening is God's waiting for us to grow and take the next step. So what's God waiting for you, you know, to do? So that's what I would say over time. The CD took four times. Like Rick was saying, it lay dormant. Oh, something's going to happen. And then, oh, something's going to happen with it. No, I don't know what to do with it. Lord, you have to do it. That happened to me four times over the course of 17 years. And I finally said, that's it. Three strikes, you're out. I'm done, Lord. I'm not doing this anymore. And then suddenly something happened. And I said to Cliff, I can't even remember how it all unfolded. But suddenly it was like I completely surrendered it to God. And he came along and helped make it happen.
It's funny. I love these kind of conversations and how the Spirit directs it, because you both said things that were answers to questions I was going to ask.
Awesome. So, praise God.
We go home now then.
Yeah.
You know, I think something I'd love your thoughts on is these are long-standing goals. I mean, it's in your book. That's what struck me when I read the book is, you know, you had like a screenshot or whatever of your goals from the message. That message was in 2017, the financial series. And in
one
there,
one of them was make you pastor.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, oh. Oh, wow.
2017. In there was to write a book you know, write a, I forget how it's actually worded, but, you know, write a book in essence.
Right.
And I knew that goal, you know. So it's 2017, so now we're 7 years later, you know. So Jenny and I have this conversation sometimes where, you know, you hear somebody talk and you're like, this is how you win at life or how you get God's ways, you know. So what does that look like? Give me the step. You know, people want steps. They want concrete. What does it look like, and how do you manage, endure having a goal and then having to wait and experience setbacks? How do you know when, okay, the door is closed, or this is just something I have to persevere through?
Well, that, yeah, I mean, a big part of my book is the fact that the revelation to me when I was, I mean, a big part of the book is how the trauma that I went through, terrible financial misfortune that included me, my family, and the church, and the worry and the burden of that. And the revelation to me was that God wants us to live our lives worry-free. That if we're in that mode, then it's because we have not been doing something that's His way. Because living life His way is supposed to be second nature. You know, like when I get on my bicycle, I don't like it. Okay, now how do I stay up now? You know, which foot's got to go down? It's second nature. And so what I talk about here is that truly, living God's way is an automatic way of living. Once you learn, it becomes automatic. And the very first step in automatically living God's way, you know, Habakkuk 2:2, and that came from Jack Hayford. He said, record the vision, write it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. And truly I say to you, though it might delay, it will surely come. And I mean, I don't remember really the message, but when he said that verse, and this was back in 1979, 1980, it's like, dong! And so, because, again, my dad was telling me about journaling and all this stuff, you know. And so I realized that, you know, writing down what you believe God's put in your heart, that that's His will for your life and what you want to do, writing that down begins that automatic process, because that puts in gear, first of all, your soul, and secondly, the Holy Spirit. You know, and who commands angels, and so it puts into process all this thing, these things that are way beyond our comprehension, that makes things happen, and so, you know, once you do that, and I describe it step by step in the book, but once you write that down and put it on your refrigerator or whatever, you know. Now your soul's at work while you're sleeping, while you're doing whatever. The Spirit's working. The angels are working. Oh, I got all this stuff working for you to make this happen. And so what do we have to do? Not a thing. Just go about our life. Don't worry about it. Don't even consider it. Put it over there. When it's God's time, He'll ring a little bell or whatever. It'll ding. Oh, that's what we were taught. Okay, I'll do that. You know, I liken it to deer hunting, sitting in a tree stand. I fall asleep. Right? And oh, there he is. Okay, you have an opportunity. Oh, this is why I'm here. You know, so I feel life is like that. Once we have a vision and we write it down, it becomes, you just go on about your life, not worrying about it, because you've already expressed the desire. When the opportunities come to take that next step, the Holy Spirit says, hey, here it is. Oh, okay. Then, of course, faith's involved in taking the step. But it becomes automatic. It just becomes like riding a bicycle.
So, loaded question.
I mean, looking at me like, what?
Yeah.
Well, I think
my whole life I've been talking to people that are looking at me like.
Well, I think there's a legit, you know, response there, because I think my experience in dealing with people and in my own life, right, is this tendency to want to take control of things.
Yes.
You know, so the freedom is in trusting the Lord, in His timing, in everything. But we so often want to make it happen, and we get in there, and we start trying to manipulate and all this stuff, and that control is bondage.
Right.
It's not freeing at all.
That's why I use that passage where Jesus talks about, look at the birds of the air. Mm-hmm. They don't worry, you know? So why are you? Aren't you worth more than the birds, right? You know, so what do the birds do? Well, They sleep at night. They get up in the morning and they go to the bird feeder. They go and get some seeds, you know, and then they go on about their bird business. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. They don't worry. They don't wring their hands. They're like, oh. And Jesus actually said the birds trust in God.
Right.
If they do, why shouldn't we?
I think most people run around, like worried, hurried, scurried. You're running around, worried, hurried, scurried, and if you feel good, you think, oh, there must be something wrong. I must be missing something if I'm not stressed. And we think that we have to strive and strain. And the Bible says, cease striving, know that I'm God. Be still, rest, be still. And when you write those goals in your journal, some goals will happen next week. Some won't happen for 30 years. He's saying 30 years ago, God told him about a book he's going to write. And so here we are all those years later. But it took him 30 years to write the book, in essence, right? Sometimes it takes a long time to write the song. Like I shared with you guys my Stained Glass Road song, you know, that was all about how God takes all those broken things of our lives, all the colors, the good days, the bad days, and he brings it together to bring a stained glass road. And then when we get to heaven, we walk on streets of gold, you know, and that... This life is full of adversity and blessing, as Rick has talked about many times. We're riding that train of adversity and blessing, but most people want to run the monorail of blessing. Well, if I'm not blessed, you know, if I don't feel just blessing, I must be doing something wrong. No, if you're feeling an opposition to what you want to do for God, you're probably on the right track, because the enemy doesn't want you to complete your mission. But God does, so you just, anytime the enemy tries to, you know, throw water on your offering, just keep throwing water on it. God's going to ignite it, right? Cliff talks about that sometimes, too. But when you're not sure if it's, you know, because I went through that with the CD. Like, is this you, God? Is this me trying? But every year, I would write in my journal, you know, record a CD of excellent, you know, a CD of excellent quality of original songs. You know, record a CD of excellent quality of original songs. And every year I'm like, all right, I'm writing again, Lord. What are we doing? Because it costs money and I didn't have the money. But don't think about the money. Like Rick said, don't think about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. You know, don't think about that. Think, Lord, if money is no object, which it isn't to God. He has a storehouse in heaven that he can pour out a blessing on you till it overflows if you will trust him. So asking the Lord, Lord, provide the people, provide everything that I need. Show me, you know, help me find somebody to help us do this. And we went through that with this church, you know, when we went to do the parking lot, suddenly somebody introduces Rick to somebody that does parking lots. We needed to put the posts in the ground. Somebody introduced Rick to somebody that puts posts in the ground. It's like specific things. When you pray specific things, what are your steps? I know Rick would talk often about, well, here's my goal. But then what's the first step I could take to get there? What is that first step? And when you feel like the door is closing, ask the Lord, is this we're in holding right now and there's something that needs to happen? Or is this you saying, no, we're not going to do this? But I would always tell Cliff with the CD project, 17 years. And people would be like, are you still working on that? You know, aren't those songs old? You know, like, well, I kept writing new songs. I didn't just say, well, these are my 10 songs and that's it. I just kept writing new songs. And every time we recorded, we're going to get rid of the ones we don't like as much anymore. And then we're going to add a new song. Then we're going to get rid of those. And we just kept growing with it and refining it and learning along the way. The quality CD that we have now far surpasses what we would have had then because we grew in between. But when you're feeling like there's a waiting, just ask God, am I missing something, or are we just unholding right now? You know, and trust him with that. Don't listen to what other people are saying. Unless it's people that are really close to you and that's your mentor, they can give you cautions, they can give you and help you give direction. But most of the time, they're going to pray with you and say, Lord, if this is of you, you know, we're going to see this happen. But with the CD project, it would not let me go. I kept saying to Cliff, this will not let me go. Every time I give it to God, it's like it's following me. I felt like it just kept following me. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it. No, it kept following me. It said, it won't let me go. I know God wants me to do this. And we did it, you know.
So. Interesting thing about waiting, you know, like back in the, I would say probably 90s, there was somebody who wanted to help put some of my sermons into book for writing form, and they had a thing on their ears and they're typing away, you know, and you know, a little foot pedal, and they're like, this is taking forever, right? And so then, you know, in 2019, somebody did actually do that. But then, you know, when John and Mary Ann got involved, now guess what's invented? AI, right? Artificial intelligence. So now I've got a process, which John is in the process of teaching me, that they can, that the artificial intelligence can take my messages, put it into text form, can be edited it. I can edit it. Say that 10 times fast. And, you know, and then it can go into a book. So I had to wait like, you know, 30 years until AI came around. I didn't know about AI. But now, I mean, I tried Max Speech back about, I said, in 2010. You know, that was supposed to be able to take audio and turn it into text. And I tried it. And then it came up, cannot understand you. So, you know, so it wasn't God's time.
I heard what he said, but he couldn't have meant that.
Yeah. That's great.
Well, it's funny. I mean, interestingly enough, you know, in terms of, could you have written the book 30 years ago?
Could I have?
Yeah. Would it be what it is today?
I wouldn't be what it is today. Of course not. I mean, I had to go through a whole lot of pain.
Right. Right. I mean, that's, you
whole
know,
lot of learning.
You know, and I said that to Jenny, like, could you have written the song Faithful or Stained Glass Road 17 years ago?
Right. No.
You know, so there is that. And but yet in the moment, right, there is this, like, it's hard. It's a struggle, right? Yeah. So what do you have to say about the struggle that is life? Because on one hand, right, we're trusting in the Lord, but we have to balance that with what has the Lord told us to do that does require us to do something. You know, it's not just, okay, Lord, I'm just going to sit back and you're just going to drop it all. There still is effort and things that you have to experience to go through. So how do you hold that tension?
Well, you know, like I said, first of all, you write down the goal. And I just want to say, like in my journal, I'll put down the date, how bad my tinnitus is from 5 to 10. And then I'll put down my proverb 7 today, you know, and I'll write out the one that stands out to me, and then a little like one sentence prayer, Lord, help me do, you know, whatever. And then I'll write down the things that I hope to accomplish that day. Now, tomorrow's Monday, right? First day of the week. So on Sunday, I write down the things that I hope to do this week, right? That's my week goals. On the beginning of the year, I write down my yearly goals, right? And I also go over my 5-year goals and my lifetime goals to see if they need to be changed or updated, right? But every week, I will put down what I hope to accomplish this week, and then each day, I'll put down what I hope to accomplish that day. And it's a good day if you get one thing done, right? I usually write down like 10 things, and it's a great day if I can actually say, I did that. I accomplished that. But, I mean, again, that's how you, you know, and I say in my book, you know, once you write down that big goal, now you take your best guess. What are the steps that's going to take? My best guess. 1, 2, 3, 4. I remember one time I was out walking and praying when I was trying to build the log house. And God, God, you're a carpenter. What do I need to do? And all of a sudden, I got this download of like 30 steps. I'm there, God. You know, wait till I get back home. I gotta write this down. You know, and I got home and I said, okay, God, bring it back. And I wrote all these steps down. So I'd never built anything before in my life. You know, and so you know, pray, talk to God, write it down, take your best guess, at the time that's involved. Well, how long is this going to take? You know, I mean, it's never right, but you got to shoot for the moon so you land on the barn roof, right? Otherwise, you're going to shoot for the barn roof and land in the mud. And other things.
Yeah. What was the question again?
How do you hold the tension?
Yeah, how do you hold the tension?
I answered it, Jen.
Yeah. No, you know, I would say it's funny because, you know, Rick's talking pretty, you know, point by point, and I'm feeling like the emotion that was put into this project because...
Which is why I appreciate the both of you.
Yeah.
I just want to say that. That's why.
Yeah.
There's two aspects here. Personalities are different, two approaches that I reap the benefit of, and I think we all do, because we get this balanced approach then.
Yeah.
So, that's what I love about you both. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, with the CD project, I mean, you know, it started off in my dad's basement, my mom and dad's basement, and my dad had he is an excellent musician, amazing musician, and he was recording songs that we had written together, songs I wrote, songs he did, and soon after, my parents ended up divorcing, which was, you know, very, very hard on us, but we're blessed. God has brought us major blessings since then in our new family, but... you know, so we went through that, then my, you know, we kind of like lost the CD project and we lost the ambition for it. And then two people, one was Lee and someone else had come up to me and we were doing some of my songs, you know, on Sunday mornings and they said, you should record your original songs. And I'm like, yep, it's on my list, you know, and you should record. And I was starting to like kind of look into something and someone had come to me and said, how much is it going to cost? So I called a studio and how much is it going to cost? And I came back and I told him, you know, it'll probably be anywhere from, you know, $1,000 to $2,500 a song. And that was way more than, you know, Cliff and I could even imagine being able to pay. So they said, well, we'll take money out of our retirement fund and we will fund your project. Then when you sell your CDs, you can pay us back. And I was like, no. You know, I ran from that. First of all, don't take money out of your retirement fund. That might be in his book. But I just did not feel comfortable with that. I said, I'd have to sell like 1,000 CDs. Like, you know, so it just wasn't going to work out. But I was like, Lord. So then I said, Lord, if you can have somebody let me borrow the money, you can have somebody do this project for me for free. So a couple of years later, somebody came to the church. My friend Jim Huffman, he came and he said, hey, you know, I play guitar, so he came to music ministry that night. That day, that week, he ended up in a car accident, and he had already been paralyzed, and he ended up like being injured again severely. So I went to visit him as a pastor, and he had just started coming to our church, and he told me that he had a studio in his house, and he said, when I feel better, I'll record your songs. So we spent 2 years recording the songs. And when I say 2 years, you're talking hundreds of hours, right? With all the instruments. And one day I came in and he said, Jen, I have really bad news. He said, for some reason, my recorder reset to factory settings and I lost everything I've ever recorded on here. And I was like, well, I guess we're going to have to start over. So we started over again, worked again for 2 years, had a lot of hours in it, and his health started declining. He ended up in the hospital, in and out. And unfortunately, in 2018, I believe he passed away. So I lost everything. I couldn't even access the recordings. And long story goes into that, but Jamal Russ, who was attending the church at the time, they moved. But he... was able to take the recorder and say, I wonder if it would work if I put like a headphone jack in there. Well, he was able to download all the tracks that we had so far. And one of the tracks was my friend Jim, who had passed away, doing a lead. We were able to take that lead and transfer it over to this CD. So Jim was able to be put on there even after he was with Jesus already. So that was a blessing. So the song No One Can Compare, if you guys listen to it, you'll hear Jim's lead. But there was an emotion of, God, really? Really? But when Jim was in the hospital, one of the songs that came out of that time, I was on my bicycle. I think Cliff and I were training for our ride with Rick and Nancy. And I was on my bicycle, and I just started singing, you know, are we broken beyond repair? God, can we heal, or is life just unfair? Then I recall that your hand formed my very flesh and bone. And that song, Wounded, came from Jim's problems. And you know, it's just when I go back and think about the song stories, and I did decide yesterday after my next Get Up with Jen. If you guys don't know, the first Thursday of the month I do a Get Up with Jen on Facebook. Next week I'm going to finish a series, or next month I'm going to finish a series, and then I think I'm going to do song stories from each song that I wrote, and how God brought that, you know, to be, because sometimes that ministers to people. But there is an emotion in releasing and saying, God, now Jim died. Now what do I do? You know? And nobody could help me, and nobody was able to. And it was like, Lord, well, do you know, I ended up coming back to, somebody came to the church and said, hey, I know this guy, Gary, up in Stroudsburg. He does recordings. You should call him. I called him. It was the same guy I called 10 years ago. And it was like, we had all these email conversations. In the middle of that, Gary's house had burned down. His studio that was in his home, he lost everything one night when he was out playing. Electrical fire. Lost his entire home. He was telling me how God supplied all of the stuff for his studio when he rebuilt his house. So I was able to talk about how I felt like I lost my recording. He lost his studio, and God brought this brokenness together. So you just, the stories that God brings from all this waiting is amazing.
How he works in the waiting, right?
Yeah.
So talking about goals, and we're getting close to our time here, but goals, one of the things, you know, a vision for the church that we believe, you know, when you started the church in 1981, is it fair to say that there was some suspicion from the surrounding community?
Yeah.
Right, I mean.
Yeah, we were the Moonies.
I'm not even going to explain that. That's far too fun to not explain, so I'm just going to let that go. But what I think what we're seeing, as far as maybe our reputation goes here, you know, there was that we are noticing and seeing that the reputation has turned from a suspicion and a to more of a, like, what are you guys doing? You know, and we believe the Lord is positioning us to be a resource for other churches, you know. So that's a vision, and I believe I'm going to work on some things here to really kind of begin to move in that direction intentionally. So what would you say, Rick, to anyone who would say, why is Rick and Jen up there talking about the stuff they did and selling it? You know, like, in essence, promoting yourself. You know, what is the church's place in that, or what's your viewpoint?
Yeah, well, I'm not a promoter, never was. In fact, when Jesus told me I wanted to start a church in this area, I said, after I said no, and then everything broke, and I said, okay, but you have to do it. I am not a promoter. I'll show up. I'll do what I have to do, because I don't want to live outside of the bubble of your grace, you know. And so I feel like if God wants something to be done, he'll make it happen. Like, you know, it's funny, because I'd say I had this recurring dream throughout my entire life. I was up here preaching my heart out, and there was nobody there, which did come to pass in March of 2020, right?
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I mean, that's the subconscious at work. But subconsciously, I was kind of hoping nobody would come, because I just... You know, the only reason I ever did it was because I felt like God wanted me to do it. You know, I never was one to want. Nancy will attest, she has a hard time dragging me anywhere where there's a crowd. You know, and so when it comes to promotion, I mean, that's one of the great things when Jen came alongside. You know, she said, "Rick, this is the best kept secret in the Poconos." You know, so you know, she started to want to get the word out that we were here. And I'm like, you know, that's fine. That's awesome. But that's not me. You know, if God wants something, you know, then he's gonna bring the people to me. He's going to bring whatever. And just like with the books, you know, I mean, the only reason that the books are in print is because people were coming to me and say, Rick, you got to get this stuff in print. I mean, you say it, but it goes over our heads, and we're like trying to mull over it, you know. You got to get it in print. So, you know, if... You know, and you know, I grew up, you know, I mean, when we started the church, it was PTL with Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart, the 700 Club, you know, all these TV evangelists. I mean, they were relentlessly promoting themselves and their stuff, and then for a while I would get these glossy magazines, and it was, you know, Bill Hybels and all these great people doing all these conferences and everything, and I'm like, well, here I am out in the middle of nowhere, you know, with a couple hundred people, and I guess, you know, but I was like, God, you know, I could care less. I mean, I have an audience of one, and that's you, you know, and as far as other people, whatever they do, that's between them and you. I just refuse to let myself become jealous or envious or look at other people, because Paul said, whatever other ministers are doing, that's between them and God. You know? So that's their conscience. It'll all wash out when we see Jesus face to face. And
And yet on the other side, on the other side, is there a false humility to not make it known? You know, to hold back the truth that the Lord has given you?
There certainly could be. I mean, when I asked Jim there when he first met me if he went fishing at all, he said, "Well, once maybe a little bit." I mean, the man's obsessed with fishing. Oh. You know, so I mean, that was a false humility there. You know, maybe a bad example. Sorry, Jim. Yeah.
He's your buddy. You could say.
I think maybe the question is there, you know, do we have a responsibility before the Lord to, you know,
and that's where Jen was coming from. Yeah. You know, she was saying, Rick, you know, what you're doing here needs to be known. You know, there's ways of making this known that other people can benefit from it.
Right.
Let's you know, and so just like with this book, I'm not here promoting. I'm so thankful that the books didn't come yesterday, that they're coming tomorrow. But I don't want anybody buying my book because of feeling guilty or feeling pressured or whatever, you know. Because, you know, ultimately, we just want to say, hey, this is a resource. And it's just like the church. We're here. If anybody can benefit from it, awesome. Yeah. If not, well, then God will put us out of business. Right?
That's right. Right. Yeah, and I think when you just point to Jesus, I remember my nephew, I'm not going to say which one, because they're probably sitting here, but when he was little and you would give him a compliment, he would just go like that. He'd say, oh, you look so cute today. And he would do that and point. And I always think that when somebody encourages you, you just point to Jesus. I remember one time somebody came here, this was years ago, and they came up and said, well, there's two things. One day you're going to be discovered. And I immediately said, no, I want people to discover Jesus. You know, and so that has become my mission, to help others discover Jesus. And the other thing is that always kind of gets under my skin is when people say, you missed your calling. Well, what exactly is the calling? There is no better thing to do with your gift than to serve Jesus Christ. And that, you use your gifts for the Lord. And I am so blessed to have and humbled by the amazing musicians and vocalists and sound people and AV techs that the Lord has brought around me. I could never do what I'm doing without all these people. So getting that attitude of team, getting that attitude of Jesus, and it's not about us, it's about him. But at the same time, he does not want us to hide our light under a bushel basket. We are a city on a hill, a light on a hill. We are the light of the world. So when your project, whatever you do, points to Jesus, he will make a way. And, you know, and I don't know what it costs Rick to do his book. I don't know how much financial, you know, burden he had. But I know that we had a big financial burden doing the CD. It has not paid us back yet. Okay, so when you think you're buying a CD, and when you buy CDs on that, at the counter out there, that money goes right into a music ministry fund. So I don't even take the money from that, because we want to invest in what God is doing, you know. But so it's not like we're making, you know, somebody's like, oh, you're going to make thousands when you when you sell your CD. It's like, no, after 4 years, it hasn't even paid itself back. But God has blessed us in other ways that has helped pay us back, right? That's what God does. He's the one. It comes from him. So I'm just to set your mind at ease, we're not here trying to make a lot of money, because you just don't, unless the Lord takes something and gives it to you, right? So I'm just being honest. And we want to be, we're very open about these things at the church. We're authentic. This is genuine talk here, but
yeah, I mean, I guess
that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, I guess it's maybe we put about $500 into it so far. We went through Amazon, so Amazon takes most of that burden. To self-publish without using Amazon would be about $4,000 or $5,000 a book. I think maybe we've got $500 into it. So far, we've got $155 that's come in, So, and half of that's John's. I promise. He said, we don't want any money. I said, well, half of what comes in is yours. But the point being, I'm not even writing books to make money. I'm doing it because God wants me to put this in writing, because, you know, when you say something, that's one thing. But when you put it in writing, when I was doing this book, I'm like, do I really want to put that in writing?
Yeah.
Quote
I
you.
Mean, this was the first time in 2017 was the first time I ever really talked about the difficulty that I went through. You know, and that happened 17 years before that. And I kept it under wraps because, well, there was people involved and things involved, and it was just embarrassing. But in 2017, I did talk about it some in the series. And in the book then, I get in more detail, and I talk exactly how it broke down and why it happened the way that it happened and how I worked my way out of it. But I was like, do I really want to put this in print? Because my grandkids are going to read this one day. You know?
Right, right. You know, something I just want to say this. You said before about Mr. Calling. You know, Ricky, I know you laughed and she said that, you know, because first of all, who is someone else to make that decision for you when you're the ones who are spending time with the Lord saying, Lord, what do you want me to do today? You're simply being obedient. There's no better place to be, right? There's no better place to be than that. I want to read Proverbs 8 as we get ready to finish up here. Sure. You know,
can I just jump in?
Quickly.
I mean, you know, when you're a minister for 40 years, people will come, well, Rick, you should do this. Rick, you should do that. And I said, well, what are you doing with your life? Who are you to tell me how to live my life when, you know? But anyway, then sometimes when I was really lacking discretion, I would say, you know, the proverb says that a fool only wants to hear his own voice, and he's wiser in his own mind than seven wise men.
And we'll leave you with that proverb.
And they're always like, oh, thanks for that. Thanks for that wisdom. I appreciate that.
Let's read Proverbs 8. This is your proverb for tomorrow. Let's read Proverbs 8, 32 through 35. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me. This is wisdom talking. For blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. So, in 30 seconds or less, what's next? Are you ever done learning? And what's next?
Never done learning. I always have got a new learning curve that's put me way beyond my comfort zone. You know, whether it be shooting PRS or whether it be, you know, learning how to self-publish. What was the question again?
What's next?
What's next?
Yeah, what's the next goal?
Well, I mean, Jim and I love teaching these kids. I used to be up here for 40 years teaching the adults. And I'd see the kids go, and I always felt kind of guilty. Well, the kids are going to go out now, because like last week we went over with the kids, like they are number one in the kingdom. They're first, right? And I was telling them that I'm so glad now I can retire and coming back and teach you kids who are the first in the kingdom of God and most important to God.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Great.
That's next.
Great.
Yeah. Just keep moving forward. You know. Just asking God, what do you have next, and trusting Him, and dreaming big, and writing it down, keeping it before us constantly, and just trusting the Lord, and always growing, saying, Lord, how can I get better? Because in every area of our lives, no matter what it may be, we've never arrived till the day of Christ Jesus. There's always something else that we can be learning. So ask the Lord who He has for us, and what He has for us, and then trust Him.
I think my next book is going to be... what the Revelation says about the end times and why Israel is so important, and kind of put that into a book, and also I hope to get out before next Easter. What about Lent? Mm-hmm. Talking about that tradition of Lent and the biblical timetable of Jesus' trial, death, and resurrection.
Great, awesome. Looking forward to it. All right, music team, you guys want to come on up as we're gonna go to the Lord's Supper this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank
here.
You.
Right. You know, the question this morning, ultimately, this is, you know, the question this morning is, in anything we do in sharing personally, which is what we do here today, you know, is to turn and apply it to your life, you know. So the question is, are you experiencing the freedom of the Lord? You know, and are you experiencing it in every area? Or are there areas where you're kind of going, well, yeah, I trusted maybe God, you know, like I said earlier, with salvation, but there's things in the immediate that I'm not, you know. So as we, it's the first Sunday of the month, and so we're celebrating communion here, and the night before Jesus was his ultimate act of obedience and going to the cross, right? He shared a meal with his friends, and he took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body broken for you. This is the evidence of the new covenant between the Father and the Son, and he put us in it because we are covered by the cup. He said, this is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins for all who would ask and receive it. And so this is the opportunity we have for you. I'm just going to ask you all to just close your eyes for a minute. Let this be a personal application. You know, if you have never before said yes to a relationship with Jesus, if you haven't put your trust in him, if you don't have the assurance of eternal salvation, but you want it this morning, I'm going to ask you to simply raise your hand and look at me. Anybody making that decision this morning, giving your heart to Jesus, saying, Lord, I trust you. If I don't see you looking at me, then just wave at me or throw something at me. If you're watching online, you can hit us up in the chat box. Okay. All right. Father, we thank you for this day and for this time, and Lord, for your word. It all comes back to that, Lord, your word at work in our lives. And so we're just going to collectively take a minute here and say, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We're going to seek your will for our lives, not worry about what the person to our right or to our left is doing, but Lord, to seek you and to say, Lord, have your will in my life and teach us your ways. Lord, teach me your ways. Thank you for your courage and by the power of your spirit, the ability to follow them. And thank you, Lord, that as we follow your paths, as we do things your way, that you do lead us from chains and from bondage into your freedom, into the abundant life. So, Lord, we look forward to what you'll do, and we give you every situation in our lives in which we're trying to hang on to that control and say, Lord, we're going to let you work because your ways are better. Thank you for doing it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.